This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You're listening to a special history broadcast here on the Michael Medved Show. For more programs like this, visit MedvedHistoryStore.com.
And on this special broadcast, we celebrate a peculiar element of American uniqueness, the longing for some new party to come in and save the day, to take care of the fact that both of the existing parties, whatever those parties happen to be, always seem to be just boring and dull and too much the same. For instance, listen to this campaign song. It's a campaign song, well, let me give you a hint, it's not from 1999. But don't you think that the sentiments of the same old merry-go-round have a particularly contemporary ring to them?
The donkey is tired and thin. The elephant thinks he'll move in. They yell and they fuss, but they're not fooling us. They're sisters under the skin, because it's the same old merry-go-round. Which one will you ride this year? The donkey and elephant bob up and down on the same old merry-go-round. The elephant comes from the north. The donkey may come from the south. If you look, you'll find the donkey's behind, but they've got the same bit in their mouth, because it's the same old merry-go-round. Which one will you ride this year? The donkey and elephant bob up and down on the same old merry-go-round. Wanna end up safe and sound? Get off of the merry-go-round. To be a real smarty, just join a new party and keep your 2 feet on the ground, because it's the same old merry-go-round. Which one will you ride this year? The donkey and elephant bob up and down on the same old merry-go-round.
It's worth remembering that the same old merry-go-round, as admirable as you may think its sentiments may be, was written for a particularly disastrous third-party campaign, the campaign by Henry A. Wallace, who ran for president in 1948, on the ultra-left-wing Progressive Party, long years after he failed to win any electoral votes, despite the fact he was a former vice president. It was revealed that this Henry Wallace, who ran against Harry Truman in 1948, was actually running in a party that was heavily penetrated by communists, real-life communists. I mean, people who were active in the Communist Party of the United States. So naturally, they said, the donkey and the elephant, it's the same old merry-go-round. That Progressive Party, by the way, had more songs than votes. Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, Alan Lomax, a lot of other prestigious songwriters, left-wing songwriters, wrote campaign songs for the Progressive Party. The one you just heard was written by Ray Glazer and Bill Wolfe. But it raises a rather crucial issue, which is, if people have been complaining about the same old merry-go-round, then why, with all of these attempts to change that merry-go-round, to substitute sometime in the last 140 years a different kind of beast, oh, say a bull moose, in place of the donkey or the elephant, why have all those attempts failed so spectacularly? And what about that one campaign where third-party advocates really seemed to get their dream? There weren't just two choices, there were four. That was a campaign of 1860, the campaign that led directly to the war between the states, the bloodiest, most tragic conflict in American history. A lot of historians say that when the Democratic Party split apart in 1860, then it was an immediate, inevitable prelude to the Union splitting apart. It's a long and tragic story, but what happened was, rather than giving Americans a choice between Abraham Lincoln and Stephen A. Douglas, who would run against each other for senator from Illinois, both were outstanding individuals in their own right. The Democratic Party split because some of the most militant Southerners wanted it to split, and they wanted secession. They wanted to encourage some of the waverers in the South, that there was no hope. They wanted to see Abraham Lincoln actually elected, not because they liked him, but because they hated him, and they thought that if he's elected, well, then we'll be able to persuade a lot of the folks back home that it's really time for us to get out of this Union. So what happened was, when Stephen A. Douglas was unable to win the Democratic nomination, because he had said that it was possible for territories to fail to enact laws to support slavery. He basically opposed the Dred Scott decision. When he said that, even though he was trying to compromise, as he always did, a lot of the more militant Southerners said, no, we can't support this guy. And at the Democratic Convention, they had this crazy rule in 1860, where you had to get two-thirds of the votes to win the nomination. Douglas didn't get it. When he reconvened the convention, they took a recess and they reconvened, he threw out some of his opponents. Then they went and they formed their own convention, and they nominated the sitting Vice President of the United States. His name was John C. Breckinridge. He was the youngest man ever to serve as president or vice president. He had been elected vice president with Buchanan at age 35. He was a strikingly handsome man, and he was one of the most persuasive orators in American history. Concerning a speech that he once gave, James Tandy Ellis wrote these verses: "And when he rose, Lord, such a yell! And when he spoke, a magic spell seemed droppin' from each cloud, and every feller held his breath. The silence was as still as death that settled o'er the crowd. If there be orators in heaven, then I get thar, I am given, a chance to hear them speak. I'm going to say to old John C., just say again that speech for me you made on Eagle Creek." That kind of eloquence didn't help him. He ran third in the election. But with the election split four ways, it was a particularly unexciting election. Everybody who was around in 1860 says it was unexciting because it was a foregone conclusion that Abraham Lincoln would win. He'd carry virtually all the northern states, and he did, and become president of the United States. And a lot of people didn't believe that the Southerners would actually secede. But they did. And 600,000 dead bodies later, Americans might have reason to question how wonderful that choice was, with four distinguished candidates: Abraham Lincoln, Stephen A. Douglas, John C. Breckinridge, the vice president, and John Bell of Tennessee, who was trying to run as a middle compromise candidate with that old dream of throwing the whole thing into the House of Representatives. If you don't get a majority in the Electoral College, then the House chooses, and maybe the House would come to its senses and avoid a Lincoln presidency and avoid the breaking apart of the Union. But there are reasons in this kind of constitution where government is divided so clearly between the legislative and the executive and the judicial branches that you can only function in a two-party system. A president needs to have a strong party to rely on. The nature of a divided government, and divided even further, because then each of the states have their own legislatures. Almost all the states, everyone except Nebraska, has two houses of the legislature and governors. If you have little individual parties springing up everywhere, it is a formula for absolute paralysis, and for people falling apart and pulling apart, and for disasters like that election of 1860. Where Abraham Lincoln wins less than 40% of the total vote, but wins the election, and people aren't excited. They're bored thinking about the possibility of war. You'd think that with that experience, it would be a long time before anyone tried a third-party movement again. But it was only 12 years.
To order this special show, go to MedVidHistoryStore.com.
Are you feeling old or tired? This is your immune system telling you your body has too much acid. Is your stomach upset? Acid indigestion? You can't eat the foods you really like? Well, Balance 7 will change all of that by diluting the acid buildup in your body. Go to our website, MichaelMedVed.com, and click on the banner for Balance 7. Use the code MEDVED and get $15 off your order. Free shipping plus a free bottle of My Smooth Skin and a money-back guarantee. Just 3 1-ounce sips a day is all you need from Balance 7. How much will the new tax on gasoline impact your commuting costs? How can a Trojan horse income tax effort be inserted into a property tax relief proposal? And is your local school prioritizing critical race theory over teaching math and reading? Well, Washington Policy Center will keep you informed on everything you need to know about state policy. At WashingtonPolicy.org, you can subscribe to WPC's free Friday newsletter and get the information and analysis you need to stay on top of what's happening in our state. Go to WashingtonPolicy.org.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news. On the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ulysses S. Grant left the war between the states as a national hero. Won election as President of the United States, but then proceeded to squander party unity. He offended a group of people, idealists, reformers, true believers, who called themselves liberal Republicans. Now, what does that mean? They were in favor of low tariffs, Grant, and the mainstream Republicans were supporters of high tariffs. They were protectionists. Today, Pat Buchanan might say economic nationalists. And the liberal Republicans also wanted a more magnanimous treatment of the South. During the Reconstruction period, they felt that you could actually help support the rights of African Americans by being more generous, more forgiving to the Southern states. In 1870, an off-year election, they won a surprise victory led by Carl Schurz, a truly remarkable American, a Civil War hero, an officer, a German immigrant. He had been a radical over in Germany. He came over to the United States, was a radical abolitionist. He later became radical on the Indian issue as Secretary of the Interior, trying for some justice for Native Americans. He led the liberal Republicans to a surprise gubernatorial victory in the state of Missouri. And they were so convinced that they were on a roll that they convened a convention that was going to offer an alternative to President Grant. And the whole point here was not just these issues. It was the idea of conspiracy, that old theme that keeps coming up in these third-party movements. A conspiracy of Masons, that's the anti-Masonic party. A conspiracy of Catholics, that's the old Know-Nothing party in Millard Fillmore. A conspiracy of the slave power and slaveholders, that's what animated the Free Soil Party and Martin Van Buren in 1848. And now, the liberal Republicans saw a business conspiracy behind Grant and all kinds of corruption, which later did come to the surface. So they called a convention together to nominate a candidate for President of the United States with the hope that they would be able to win enough Republican support and maybe even some Democratic support to elect a president. The problem is they nominated a rather preposterous candidate. Horace Greeley, the newspaper editor, may be best remembered for having once said, allegedly, "Go West, young man." He was a longtime social reformer. He was considered something, well, something of a crank. He was in favor, for instance, of such nonsensical ideas as giving the vote to women. He was very early. He was also a vegetarian and crusaded for vegetarianism. And his opponents made great fun of him for that. He was also an ultra Republican, someone who hated the Democratic Party. And so after he became the liberal Republican candidate, what happened? The Democrats, seeing that Greeley gave them the best chance for actually beating Grant, went ahead and they nominated Greeley too. So all of a sudden, Greeley, who was in favor of high tariffs, who was in favor of greater rights for African Americans, was representing this party which was supported by those former slave owners and Confederates who were allowed to vote. He never had a chance of unseating Grant. Grant still had the mantle of hero. They still did what they called waving the bloody shirt, saying that anyone who voted for Horace Greeley was actually somebody who was supporting treason, supporting the old Confederacy. There was a cruel cartoon by Thomas Nast. Greeley had said that he wanted to shake hands across the bloody chasm and to clasp hands with former Confederates. So Thomas Nast did a cartoon showing the dead body of Abraham Lincoln and Horace Greeley shaking hands with John Wilkes Booth, who wasn't exactly a popular guy in America in 1872. Greeley was brokenhearted by the campaign. He was humiliated. He was a funny-looking guy, and he had this whole record of being a newspaper editor with the New York Tribune for years and years, and all kinds of embarrassing things associated with him. At the end of the campaign, Thomas Nast, this very Republican pro-Grant cartoonist, ran a particularly cruel campaign of Greeley, showing him being carried away dead from the field of battle. It was cruel because Greeley's wife had just died, brokenhearted over his race. And Greeley himself died 3 weeks after the election. In fact, he died before the Electoral College could even meet. So the electoral votes he had won, and it was a very few electoral votes, Grant won by an even bigger landslide than he did the first time. Those electoral votes were split among various other people. The liberal Republican movement collapsed. Carl Schurz, idealist reformer, went back into the Republican Party and served in the Hayes cabinet later on. And again, idealism and opportunism, idealism on the part of the liberal Republicans, opportunism on the part of the Democrats who endorsed them, combined for a third-party candidacy, but it didn't achieve anything. The next major third-party threat was far more significant. In fact, you could say that this is the only third-party candidacy for the presidency in American history that actually left a lasting impact. And it was based on some of the same ideas that had animated all those other third-party ideas. An idea of an evil conspiracy that took in both of the two major parties, and fighting that conspiracy at all costs. It was based upon the desperate situation in the late 19th century for farmers in America. Farmers, of course, had always been the backbone of our civilization. But ironically, as they were able to grow more and more food, their situation got worse and worse. What you have to understand is it wasn't a conspiracy that kept food prices down, even though nearly everybody who was living in rural America believed that it was. The problem was that with new transportation and railroads and telegraph and all kinds of new competition from Latin America, from Europe, even from parts of Africa, there was just more food being produced, being transported, and so the price ended up going down and down and down. There was also the question of the currency. During the war between the states, Lincoln had printed paper money. And now, the Republicans, who were largely in power, were determined to get rid of that paper money and to replace it with money backed up by the gold standard, which we still believed in. This caused deflation. All of a sudden, the money that you had was worth more. Now, that was terrible for people who owed money, for debtor classes. They organized as a greenback party, rural and laboring interests, but then later, they became famous as the Populists, the People's Party, who, according to the Kansas Pythoness, that was what she called, Mary Lees, were determined to raise less corn and more hell. And that they most certainly did, capturing governorships, senatorships, and running a Civil War hero for President of the United States with unpredictable results. We'll be right back to tell you about it.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News update. As President Biden remains on vacation, new job numbers show the economy is cooling over the summer. Employers only adding 187,000 jobs last month, fewer than expected as high interest rates continue to weigh on the economy. But the unemployment rate has dipped to 3.5%. Lotto players are hoping to become a billionaire with tonight's drawing for the Mega Millions. These players are in New Jersey.
Well, it's fantastic. I mean, that's a lot of money for anybody.
Generational money, if you hit it. My nieces and nephews could be very happy people.
The jackpot has ballooned up to more than $1.3 billion with no winners since April. It's a relatively quiet day in Washington, D.C., as both the House and Senate are not in session. Tim Berg, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We meet in the midst of a nation brought to the verge of moral, political, and material ruin. Corruption dominates the ballot box, the legislatures, the Congress, and touches even the bench. The people are demoralized. The newspapers are largely subsidized or muzzled. Public opinion silenced. Business prostrated. Homes covered with mortgages. Labor impoverished, and the land concentrated in the hands of capitalists. The fruits of the toil of millions are boldly stolen to build up colossal fortunes for a few. Doesn't that sound like the kind of conspiracy talk, the kind of angry third-party talk you hear even today? It's actually the words of Ignatius Donnelly of Minnesota, the foremost populist propagandist. That's the preamble to their platform for 1892. You know the old saying, even paranoids have enemies. Even sometimes third parties that have a wacky edge, and there's no question that the People's Party, the Populist Party of the 1890s, had a great, great deal of wackiness about it. Not just the edge, but the very center of the party was wacky in its belief of a British Jewish conspiracy, a conspiracy meant to starve out American farmers. More on that later. But they were right about one thing. They arrived on the political scene at a time when the two major parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, really were very similar. It wasn't a situation, as you have today, where the two parties rather clearly exemplified different ideas. The situation in the 1890s was conservative Republicans dominated the Republican Party, and conservative Democrats dominated the Democratic Party. And it seemed like Benjamin Harrison and Grover Cleveland were always running against one another. That's not entirely true. They ran against one another twice. One time Harrison won, one time Cleveland won. And then there was a third time where Cleveland beat another Republican, but it was all very similar. Differences about the tariff, but not much else. The radical concerns of American farmers were not being addressed by the major parties. Those concerns had to do, first of all, with the money supply, with the importance of the gold standard, which every economist, every, quote, responsible economic thinker understood at the time. That meant that people who were in debt got deeper in debt and had no way of getting out. You know, it's interesting about farmers. Hasn't it always been that the American farmer has seemed to be suffering? A big theme of the 1880s and 1890s, a big theme of the 1930s. That's why we needed to set up a Department of Agriculture and all of the New Deal programs to protect farmers from the Dust Bowl, and a big theme of the 1970s, 80s, and yep, the 1990s. What's the reason for that? It's very simple. That as farmers get better at raising food, they suddenly undermine themselves. The food becomes cheaper, and it becomes harder and harder to make a living. That was particularly true, in states like Kansas on the prairie, where people really hoped to make their money, not so much just by raising food, but by land speculation. And when all of a sudden the food gets a lower and lower price that you are producing, and you get slammed, if it's a bad harvest, there's not enough food to sell. If it's a good harvest, there's too much food, so the price is very low. Your land is worth less and less. Your mortgage gets called up. You get foreclosed on. An estimated one-third of family farms during the early 1890s, late 1880s, were foreclosed on. People were absolutely suffering. So naturally, they got a bit hysterical. They organized first into groups known as the Grange Farmers Organizations, where they hoped to pool resources. They were social organizations, but also political organizations. And then later, there were farmer alliances. There was one in the South for black farmers, one in the South for white farmers, a Northwestern alliance, a Western alliance. All those alliances came together as a national alliance. And in the off-year election of 1890, boy, oh boy, huge successes. They first of all greatly undermined the Republican Party, for a lot of these farmers used to be Republicans, and that created a huge Democratic, just an absolute landslide in that congressional election. In that election, you ended up having the Democrats outnumbering Republicans in Congress by 3-1. And meanwhile, 9 out-and-out populists were elected. They also elected 5 congressmen in Kansas and a senator in Nebraska. They took control of both houses of the legislature, had 2 houses then, and elected 2 congressmen. And in South Dakota, they elected a senator. They had reason to believe they could be a prairie cyclone sweeping all the way to the White House in 1892. But we shall see.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
The superb Irish actor Cillian Murphy plays the so-called father of the atom bomb in writer-director Christopher Nolan's new epic Oppenheimer, now playing in theaters everywhere.
We're in a race against the Nazis, and I know what it means if the Nazis have a bomb. We've got one hope.
Let's go recruit some scientists.
That's happening, isn't it?
Our work here will ensure a peace mankind has never seen.
The cast also includes Matt Damon, Robert Downey Jr., Emily Blunt, and many more worthies that make the running time of 3 hours pass more quickly than you'd expect. The focus on hearings over security clearance and a cabinet appointment after World War II, with loads of flashbacks, make this story somewhat confusing for people who may not be familiar with it. Rated R for harsh language and graphic sex scenes, 3.5 stars for the monumental and impressive Oppenheimer.
Some flavor of what the Populist Party was about before it contested the presidency in 1892. All you have to do is look at the nicknames of some of its most prominent leaders. They included Lemuel H. Calamity Weller of Iowa, Congressman Sockless Jerry Simpson of Kansas, Governor Davis H. Bloody Bridles Waite of Colorado, and orator James H. Cyclone Davis of Texas, not to mention Pitchfork Ben Tillman of Georgia, and many others like Mary Lise, the Kansas Pythoness, who said, "The politicians say we suffer from overproduction. Overproduction when 10,000 little children, so statistics tell us, starve to death every year in the United States. The parties lie to us, and the political speakers mislead us. Kansas suffers from two great robbers, the Santa Fe Railroad and the loan companies." The theme here was conspiracy. The idea that the economic problems of people in rural America were due to evil conspiracies centered mostly in London. There was a popular book by Mrs. S.E.V. Emery called Seven Financial Conspiracies Which Have Enslaved the American People. It was published in 1887, and it sold hugely throughout the Midwest. Another female rabble-rouser was Mary Least. She wrote The Problem of Civilization Solved, which had the same theme. But the most popular of these books was an outright anti-Semitic book by William Hope Harvey called Coyne's Financial School, suggesting that British Jews, led by the Rothschilds, were deliberately trying to starve out and steal from American farmers. Coyne's Financial School became a huge bestseller in 1893, and then it was followed by a conspiracy novel, A Tale of Two Nations, in 1894, in which both Rothschild and William Jennings Bryan appear a little bit disguised. The villains of all these novels were Jews, and Coyne's Financial School was illustrated by a drawing of the world in a grip of a hook-nosed octopus labeled Rothschild, stretching out from London to Kansas.
You're listening to a special history broadcast of The Michael Medved Show. For a complete list of history shows, visit Medved History Store.
You know how the line to the song goes, "It's summertime and the living is easy." Well, it's not so easy, it's active. I mean, people try to get moving when it's summertime, which is why aches and pains really need to be dealt with. And the best way to deal with them that I've ever found is through Relief Factor. Take it every day. It really does help you feel better and move more easily, and it's entirely natural. It's extraordinary. Extraordinarily good for you. Go to michaelmedved.com. You can get Relief Factor with what they call a quick start, remarkably inexpensively. It's really a very special deal. And then you will probably become as regular a user as I am and millions of others. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start to make the most of your summer. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for Amfed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call Amfed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You're listening to a special history broadcast here on the Michael Medved Show, medvedhistorystore.com.
And then it was followed by a conspiracy novel, A Tale of Two Nations, in 1894, in which both Rothschild and William Jennings Bryan appear a little bit disguised. The villains of all these novels were Jews, and Coyne's Financial School was illustrated by a drawing of the world in a grip of a hook-nosed octopus, labeled Rothschild, stretching out from London to Kansas. This kind of talk didn't help the populists get a lot of mainstream respect in the rest of the country. They were trying hard to unite farmers north and south who had been divided by the remaining wounds of the Civil War. When they nominated candidates, they made a point of nominating one Union general and one conservative general. The Union general was James B. Weaver of Iowa. He was nominated for president. And he was balanced with former Confederate general James G. Field of Virginia. He was his running mate. Weaver had run before for president, 12 years before, for the Greenback Party. Hadn't done particularly well. He was a rousing orator, an enthusiastic guy. And there was a feeling that these two parties were tired. Grover Cleveland was running for president for the Democrats for the third time. Nobody was very enthusiastic about the Republican candidate, Benjamin Harrison. So the populists went out and tried to rally support. After all, they had done so well in Congress in the elections of 1890. And what happened here in the election was, yeah, you could say that part of it was scare tactics by the two major parties, scaring workers about what would happen if these radical populists came into power. Their platform called, among other things, for popular nullification of Supreme Court decisions. In those days, the Supreme Court was seen as a bastion of conservatism. They wanted the ability for a vote of the people to overturn anything the Supreme Court decided. How does that square with the Constitution? Not that well. I mean, you have big problems, too, with them wanting public ownership of the railroads, very tight regulation. They wanted a graduated income tax, a progressive income tax, to soak the rich. And they weren't even sure exactly what they would do there. Remember, the populace had a lot of legislative support. They weren't able to achieve a great deal in state legislatures or even where they had governors, but they were fairly sure that they could win this election of 1892. Why? Well, one of the things that was said In a popular populist manifesto, boy, there it is, popular populist manifesto, that says it. Jerry Simpson, sockless Jerry Simpson, said, "The struggle today in the election of 1892 is between the robbers and the robbed. There are but two sides of the conflict that is being waged in this country today. On the one side are the allied hosts of monopolies, the money power, great trusts, and railroad corporations who seek the enactment of laws to benefit them and impoverish the people. On the other are the farmers, laborers, merchants, and all the other people who produce wealth and bear the burdens of taxation." The problem here was a lot of the working people that they were counting on to support General Weaver of Iowa kind of realized that the kind of thing that the populists were talking about would destroy some of the corporations that provided jobs for those working people. Didn't stop the populists. William Jennings Bryan, who was one of them, said, "On the one side stand the corporate interests of the United States, the moneyed interests, aggregated wealth and capital, imperious, arrogant, compassionless. On the other side stand an unnumbered throng, those who gave to the Democratic Party a name and for whom it has assumed to speak. General Weaver," the candidate, said, "there is no power on earth that can defeat us. It is a fight between labor and capital, and labor is in the vast majority." Well, it may have been in the vast majority, but when the votes were counted, it got 8.5% of the vote, less than 10%. And in fact, the populists carried Idaho, they carried Colorado, they carried Kansas. That was their main electoral success, a total of 22 electoral votes. Cleveland won in something of a landslide, and the party quickly slid into irrelevancy. But for different reasons than other third parties collapsed. First of all, General Weaver clearly wasn't presidential timber. He was an old man, and he wasn't going to run again. But what happened with the populists is some of their ideas, some of their passion, ended up drifting back into the Democratic Party, and in the next election for president, taking over that party. Of all the third party movements, this could be the only one that left some lasting impact. I'll tell you about it right after this.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. The collapse of the family stands at the heart of America's most pressing, painful problems. Addiction and suicide, economic inequality, educational underperformance, and even homelessness. Recent statistics show that majorities of millennials who produce children do so outside of marriage. A University of Michigan study indicates that an amazing 20% of young adults report no contact, none, with their birth fathers. In response to the crisis, the left emphasizes redistribution of wealth or more generous welfare programs, ignoring the fact that even wealthy families suffer from breakdown or breakup. On the right, we stress the need for religious revival to strengthen family life, despite the prevalence of divorce and out-of-wedlock birth, even among the fervently faithful. We need fresh efforts to change values and culture from leaders in government, media, business, religion, and education, mobilized under a two-word slogan, Family First. I'm Michael Medved.
A vast conspiracy against mankind has been organized on two continents, and it is rapidly taking possession of the whole world. We've witnessed for more than a quarter of a century the struggles of the two great political parties for power and plunder, while grievous wrongs have been inflicted upon the suffering people. We charge that the controlling influences dominating both political parties have permitted the existing dreadful conditions to develop without serious effort to prevent or restrain them. They propose to sacrifice our homes, lives, and children on the altar of mammon, to destroy the multitude in order to secure corruption funds from the millionaires. That was part of the populist platform adopted in Omaha in 1892. One of the characteristics of so many third-party movements is this kind of apocalyptic language. Later on, when Theodore Roosevelt ran as a third-party candidate, he says, "I stand at Armageddon and battle for the Lord. It's the final battle. If I don't win, if we don't win, the world will stop. It's apocalypse." Well, it wasn't apocalypse when the populists lost big time in the election of 1892. carrying only a few small states and getting only 8.5% of the vote, the election hardly would have been different if they hadn't even run. But what was different was their energy and their passion and all their publications passed over into the Democratic Party. William Jennings Bryan, who had been partially allied with the populists, ended up winning the Democratic nomination for president after giving a very populist, famous speech, the Cross of Gold speech, at the Democratic Convention in 1896. And after that, the Democrats came to resemble the old populist party. They didn't go quite as far. Public ownership of railroads, telegraph and telephone companies, and graduated income tax, that didn't come until later under a Republican president, I'm afraid. That was President Taft, actually. But the fact is that most of the populist ideas, most of the populist energy, got sucked up into the Democratic Party, where the Democrats competed directly with the Republicans and eventually elected a president in 1912. But that's another story. The point about this is that all of the passion, all of the energy, had very little impact when it was in a third-party basis. But when William Jennings Bryan, as one famous populist said, went to our school but stole our books, stole the populist ideas, and led most populists back into the Democratic Party, then politics in America changed, and differences reemerged between the two major parties. There's something about third parties that is inevitably attractive. It was attractive throughout the 19th century and into the 20th century with some of the most dynamic personalities in American history. They also got tempted by the third party temptation. But did that make a huge difference in terms of outcome, in terms of influence? Well, we shall see in this greatest nation on God's green earth. As for now, we move upward and onward.
You're listening to a special history broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. For more history programs, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com or become a Medhead at MichaelMedved.com and check out our new history podcast for premium members called
For the Getaway of Your Dreams. Come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least 1 food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.